Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Good evening and welcome to the show tonight. Our guest tonight is Mira Kelly, and the topic is allowing love. How wonderful is that? This love thing is something I've been fascinated with myself. And when you think about love, it seems like such a tender, soft attribute that we can have. And sometimes when we think of love, it's hard to perceive it as being a heavy lifter or a power item or attribute within ourselves. Love, for sure, is very, very powerful. And yet, when we're going through our lives and we have a sense of struggle or we want to change something in our life, oftentimes our ego will not think of love as a resource to get it done, like it's an effective tool when it comes to the situations that the ego can wrestle with. But I like to perceive things from the soul level. It's kind of getting out of our minds and repositioning our perspective to that, from that point of our soul. When our soul has a vision for our life, a lot of times it can be our egos that puts on the park brake, that slows it down, because the ego always likes to be in charge, in a sense of feeling safe, in a sense of knowing what's going to happen. But I'm excited about tonight's episode, because when you can trust love, and when you first get around to trusting, sometimes it can still be a little apprehensive or a little nervous to the mind, because love is such a powerful thing. But when you can trust the love of your own soul, who had a vision for your life before you were even born, if you can get your ego to trust that vision and let go and release any need to regulate or dictate the hows and whys of how it happens, then the amount of love that you can conduit in you, through you, as you, expands. And when that happens, all bets are off. All notions of boundaries stop, dissolve, fade away for the illusion that they are. You know, you're listening to the show tonight, and that's an example of you opening up to a bigger perspective about how love can show up in your life. Our guest tonight, Mira, is a world-renowned expert on past life regression and the best-selling author of Beyond Past Lives. She facilitates workshops, retreats, individual consultations, and speaks around the world. Join me in welcoming Mira to the show. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Les. It's such a pleasure to be with you.
You know, when I think about the topic allowing love, I just get all excited and joyful and happy. What brought you to the notion of framing what you're doing around allowing love?
You see, the love is always there for us. It's the creative life force energy that brought this universe, brought each one of us into existence. So when we talk about love, tonight will be touching definitely upon romantic love, but the kind of love we're speaking is all-encompassing. What we're speaking of in terms of love tonight has to do with the love we receive all around us. And so to truly open up and live fully and completely and to express ourselves into the world, it's also a matter of us allowing that energy to move through us. Because, you see, we come from love, and that desire to connect, that desire to share, to express, and to give through love is such an innate feeling within us. It's such a primal need and desire within us to be in connection, in relationship, in communion with others, be it with the divine, be it with friends, be it with family, being with a lover, being with a child. And so that energy of love is always around us, always there to support us and to nurture our growth. But it's truly up to us to open up to love and to receive and to allow love. And that's why the word allow is so significant in our topic and in our conversation, because it truly is about allowing. And as good as you can stand it, that's how good you're going to have it.
I like that. Well, when you first started looking at the notion of love, I mean, it's obviously a very prominent part of your life now. How did you come about understanding the nature of love?
Well, you see, I was driven in understanding my own personal romantic relationships at first. And so in that search and in that understanding and wanting to create a better romantic relationship for myself, wanting to understand my partner, wanting to understand myself, I came to the understanding that our romantic partners are always people who mirror at us within our relationship our biggest childhood wounds. Because you see, as souls, when we choose to be born on earth, we can go in any direction. The possibilities of what we can learn and experience and engage ourselves in terms of paths of development are truly unlimited. And so what we choose to do is we decide, this is what I want to work through on in this lifetime, and what better set up than this family, because they have these beliefs, these set of certain financial and economic status circumstances. This is their cultural positioning. So they're going to give me those narrow view frame that I very much need in order to emerge from that, in order to gather as much as I can, in order to be molded by that environment. And it, because I'm going to forget the greatness of who I am as a soul, my sense of connection, my ability to manifest with a single thought universes. And so I'm going to set that aside so I can learn through that specific perspective of how to create life on earth, how to energy, because that's really truly what our purpose here as souls is to learn how through those different frames of reference, whatever we call our challenges, our daily difficulties, to learn so that we can use our ability to manifest and to be the creators and the manipulators of life force energy, love, so that we can create realities and universes. And so for us, that lesson starts in our childhood with the people who raise us, our primary caregivers. And so what they do for us is they bless us with their challenges, right? The lifelong traditions of not enoughness and beliefs of in abandonment and in not being deserving and not being good enough and not there, not being supported in our dreams and desires for growth. And so truly, when we come into our conscious existence out of our adulthood, we're willing to learn differently, to know ourselves for who we are, to shake the bonds of those prior limitations, to start on our path of conscious creators. And so our romantic partners are those who immediately place in front of us our challenges so that we can heal those not enough story from our childhood. And so that's how my search began. But the more I became aware, and the more I healed my own childhood stories and my own stories around my father and my mother, the more aware I became that this kind of love that I was opening to was so encompassing that it had impact on everything. It had impact on my work, on my ability to earn a living. In other words, the more you allow, the more is there for you. The more you heal, the more you integrate, the more you let go of the stories that don't even belong to us, that are not our truth. Naturally, the universe shows up in such more powerful ways because we become bigger, we become greater in our ability to serve through our skills, through our talents, to touch others. And so, just as an example, what I learned is that there is a very direct correlation between the amount of money we make and the willingness to receive love, to receive in general, right, to allow in general. And so that's why what we're speaking of here started as such an own personal intimate quest of mine, and it has grown into this bigger desire of me sharing with people their ultimate truth of how lovable they are, of how worthy and deserving they are of their dreams, of their desires, and to be able to share that with you and with our audience tonight is truly a blessing for me.
You talk about opening up to more love that shows up in you, through you, as you. And then you're here on the show tonight. You've written books, and you've created these platforms where you're reaching out with the wisdom and the experience and the perspective that you have with love. How does that feel to you to engage such a compassionate effort from your heart towards humanity? How does that make you feel on an ongoing basis?
Oh, thank you so much for this beautiful personal question. I love it. It truly makes me feel on purpose. It truly makes me feel that I'm able to show up for people and in a very loving way tell them the story of the creation of their soul and why they're worthy of love. And so allow me to do that. One of the clients that I worked with was an amazing, wonderful woman who shared with me how souls are created. And she explained to me that all that is, the entirety of that we call God, the divine, all that is in existence, in its growth, in its exploration, in its creativity, in its becoming more of itself, within a certain point, it feels within itself that there is something missing, that there is a point of creation, a point of view of consciousness creation that is unknown, that can be experienced, that there is a desire for growth in that direction. And so all that is feels this need within itself, and it recognizes that it's not all that is. It recognizes that it's some of what it could be. And so it chooses to create another sentient being that will create an experience through that perspective so that all that is can know itself through that sentient being. And so a soul is created. And when a soul is created, within that moment of creation, there's so much love and support being placed. And when I heard the story that we're so desired before we even come into being, I was so deeply moved, Les, because I realized that, you know, this whole thing that that plagues us on an emotional level, that we're not enough, that we're not lovable, that somehow we are an afterthought of the divine, you know, that God put us together out of spare parts, that everybody is better than us, that everybody has it all together. It's just us, right? I'm the only one who is still struggling, who doesn't get the love that I want, who is not able to move on in the powerful way that I want to move on. That is such a nonsense, right? That's such a belief that we have created. It's like we have hypnotized ourselves into our not enoughness. And of course, our parents have contributed so generously to this because we have this social perspective that we're simply not enough and not lovable, and we feel guilty for receiving love and not deserving of it when it's there. And so the divine is here standing by us and saying, you see, my love for you is so unconditional that I love you so much, and I want to give you the full power as the manifester of your life to make choices, because free will is truly the power for you to create universes. And with that free will comes the ability to decide, are you lovable or are you not? Are you going to trust that love is going to be there or not? And if you keep on closing your heart and saying, no, I'm going to choose to trust in my in me being always abandoned and never really served and protected, then that's exactly the experience that I'm going to give you, because I'm here to fully and completely support you in your creation. You see, that's the point of view the divine has for us. But the divine is also standing beside us and saying, I hope you remember who you are, because I created you with pure love, with pure desire to give you all that you want. I was in love with you the moment I created you. I saw the blessing, the goodness, the gifts, the talents that you are going to be to this world. And I hope that soon enough you're going to remember who you are. And so it means so much to me, Les, to be able to share this creation story, because that's the creation story of each one of us. And we have done such a good job of separating ourselves from that love. And yet that love is just an inch away. It truly is just a choice away. Because the moment you breathe it in and you allow it, your heart feels it, your heart remembers it. And the more you can allow, the more will be there. And if you think of the most successful and rich people in the world, they're unapologetic in their ability to receive. They deserve. Not because they're vain and arrogant, they deserve because they know that it's there for the asking. And yet what we do is we press the gas pedal for a little bit and we say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask. I'm going to go for it. And then we put the brake on. And then again, back and forth, rather than saying, I truly trust, I deserve, I ask, and in my asking, I'm going to be given.
Well, you talk about the gas pedal and the brake. When we think about the notion of wanting love for ourselves, what patterns do we have that impede us from having love, and how do you break through that to the point of being able to open up to receive more love?
You know, the ultimate pattern we have is truly a sense of guilt. You see, when people talk about love, they say that the opposite of love is hate. And yet it's not hate, because when somebody says to you, I hate you, what they're really saying is, you're hurting my feelings. I know you're supposed to love me. You're supposed to give me what I need. I deserve that. And so I don't like you because you're not giving me what I deserve. So you see how in hate, there's actually the allowance of love. There's the declaration of I deserve love. But guilt is truly the ultimate, because in guilt we say, no, I could never have that. I don't deserve that. I feel guilty for receiving so much from you. I'm not worthy of it. And yet the divine is sitting there with its gifts for us, and is saying, what do you mean you don't deserve it? It's already yours. All you have to say is, yes, please, more of it. Thank you. Because, you see, love is truly a gift. It's something we will never, ever be able to deserve, because you don't deserve gifts, right? People don't give you gifts because you've worked hard enough for them. You don't deserve gifts because you have been a good person, and people want to reward being a good person. Those who truly love you give you because it gives them joy to give you. They simply get a kick out of seeing you happy and smiley. And when they have been searching for that gift, that perfect gift that will tingle you with excitement, they have been thinking with so much love and wanting to give you that love. But when you say, oh, you shouldn't have, oh, this is too good, what are you really doing? You're slapping them in the face. And that's how we act with the divine. That's how we act with our lovers. So you will never, ever, ever be able to deserve the gift of love. That's just not possible. It's already been decided. God loves you simply because God decided to create you and experience itself through you. God just fell in love with you, and that's there, all there is to it. You'll never be able to deserve that love. Same with the love of everybody in your life, right? You'll never be able to deserve the love of your kids enough. You'll never be able to cook enough meals or wash enough clothes to deserve that love. They simply love you because you're lovable. And yet, if we keep on resisting that love, and if we keep on feeling guilty for receiving so much, we truly are denying the greatest gift we can give them, right? And in that moment of giving and receiving love, we're creating such intimacy, such connection, and that need for love to circulate and to create and to manifest is really what propels us to search for that connection. But we also stop the flow of love when we don't allow it, when we say, no, thank you, you better keep it, you deserve it more than me, it's too good for me. And you see, the best way to go about this is to say, enough is enough. This is an old story and repeating. This is a karma that not only do I carry, but all these generations behind me carry. And it stops with me. It truly stops with me. And I'm going to start saying a new story. I allow love. I trust love. I deserve love. Better than me. Of course I.
So when you, we talk about coming into a family dynamic, and in that family dynamic can be loaded up with a struggle, with a lesson for us to learn. I mean, for so many people, when they look at their past, especially in their family dynamics, there can be abuse, neglect, a lot of painful memories. But is it possible that the soul chose to go into a condition that didn't have that open, free, flowing expression of love to promote the search for it in a more authentic nature?
Absolutely. I really love how you phrased the question, because we don't get to learn about love by only sitting in of the divine and soul and being basking in that glorious knowing of how loved we are and how lovable we are. And actually, that's really what is so consistent and truly a heartwarming about near-death experiences. When people come back from that trip to the other side, they come back and they say, I've never tasted love this profound, this extraordinary, this breathtaking, this compassionately accepting of all of me. And we don't get to learn about love by just being as a soul in that blissful state. We learn about love by creating lifetimes where we are abused, where we are neglected, where we abandon, where others abandon us, when we act out of integrity and we cheat on people, when we hurt people, when we take care of babies, when we take care of our aging parents. You see, each one of those situations is an opportunity for us to know about love. And through each one of those, we learn about love. We learn about the energy and the power of love, the power of love to heal, the power of love to manifest, to move us beyond. And so, of course, naturally, we choose those situations. But just because you grew up with parents who were neglectful, who died young, when you were young, who were abusive, that doesn't mean that you have to keep on choosing that story for yourself, because that's not your truth. That's not your identity. That's not the story you have to keep on living with. Because you see, when you keep on reinforcing that story, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm placing my faith and in my trust in the not enoughness. I'm placing my faith and my trust in me always needing to withdraw and run away from love. But it's up to you now, the clear conscious thinking, how to say, you know what, it doesn't feel natural because I'm angry for so long, it doesn't feel natural that I can truly declare I'm lovable, I'm enough. I can trust devotion. I can trust surrender into that kind of devotion. But if you don't change the story you tell, how are you ever going to experience a new story? You are the writer of your life, the writer of your story. And so even though it doesn't feel natural, you have to change your transit.
The idea that when you talk about the near-death experience, oh, it looks like she's dropped off. Maybe she'll call back in. You know, for my own self, when the household I grew up in, hopefully
again.
She's back. Are you back?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much. I apologize. I think we reached a peak in the energy and I needed a breather there for a moment just to take a breath and to share with you that we truly are in a place of being able to choose. And you see, when people say, but you know, I'm unsure of trusting. I'm unsure of opening up to love and trusting love. I say to people, you know what? Trust a little bit. Trust and don't open up in huge, extraordinary ways because fear is going to come back in huge, extraordinary ways and you shut back and go back. Instead, open in small ways, open in little steps so that you can work through whatever shows up and see that love will be there. And meanwhile, constantly reinforce the new belief that you are lovable, you're deserving of love, you're deserving of commitment. You're deserving of support of all your dreams. And to trust that whatever challenges are in front of you, your soul knows that you can handle them. You can really move through them. And the bite that you're taking is not bigger than what you can chew on.
Well, you make a good point because when people get in a relationship and they have a clinging to it like it's, it defines their worth. They're so vested, so involved in the relationship, and then it goes sour. They can have such a deep sense of hurt and pain in their psyche. And for some people, they give up. They don't go back. It's almost like they're done trying. But I like the points that you make of taking the smaller steps, and then the very importantly, working through the feelings of it without taking it all at once. I think part of the being overwhelmed in loss is you put so much of your worth in the relationship, so when it goes south, it lands right back in your lap.
And that's okay. Some of us are bigger creators in that way, right? We jump from bigger cliffs and bigger mountains and do daring, crazy things like that. And that's okay if we do it that way. But what matters is for you to know that this challenge is not bigger than you, that no matter how scary it feels, because, you know, even the smallest opening will feel terrifying for some people, right? That love will be you because love heals. Love truly heals. And you have to believe in that. You really have to make that choice and say, you know what? What am I placing my trust in? Am I placing 100% of my trust in doubting love and trusting that it will never work out for me and I just need to cover for safety? Or do I choose to place 100% of my love and my trust in love and to say love will heal me, this will change, this too shall pass. My fear is simply nothing but all this excitement, my soul speaking to me and saying this is the direction to move and to just follow the path. This is your truth. It feels so strong because simply all this fear is coming to a breaking point and it's holding for dear life because a part of you is scared of who would you be without this fear, without this old story. But I'm here to assure you, you will be a bigger and better person and you will survive and you will look back on it and you'll say, I'm so grateful I allowed love because it brought me to a better place in my life, a greater sense of connection, a greater sense of my ability to use my power as the divine creator that I am. My ability to serve others with my gifts and talents, my ability to see the world as with so much more compassion. And that's truly the power of love. When you allow it to move through you, it works miracles on you and on others.
You know, I liked what you said about compassion. When we look at the dynamics of our human story in the past, it can be so riddled with stories of pain and struggle and grief and heartache. And as an individual, when you work that through yourself and you open up to self-love, there's a point where your self-love becomes self-sustaining, where the love of yourself won't allow you to go back into the darkness. But I really liked what you said about compassion, because it's almost like we come out of the struggle of being a disconnected human and shake ourselves off, and then with a big open heart and compassion, we go back into the storm as a vessel, as a vehicle of that unconditional love.
Yeah. Yeah, and that the way you speak of makes me think of how generous love is, right? Because when you open up as that vessel of love and you say, this feels uncomfortable, this feels uneasy, I'm moving through my biggest fears, my partner is moving through these huge fears, yet I'm going to stay in the generosity of love. Because love is generous, love is forgiving, love truly doesn't allow for resentment. Love says, I believe, I trust, I see the greater you. And that's really how we allow for change. That's how really love heals us. That's how when we open up, the divine rushes in to heal us as well.
Well, sure. And the more you open up to and allow love, the more you trust it, and there's a point where there's no going back. I mean, once you've tasted the elixir of love, it's like, what the hell was I thinking all my life to push it away so absolutely when it's such a sweet, fulfilling. So how would you say in your life, at the end of the day, how do you feel about this love that you embody more and more in your life? How does it change how you feel about your life every day?
It truly makes you be in love with your life, in love with it, with every circumstance in your life. It truly becomes a delicious, glorious, delirious feeling of all is well, I feel fulfilled, everything feels synchronized and aligned. And even if something comes up that is out of alignment, that's okay. I can bring love and compassion and the generosity of love into it, because ultimately this feeling is really what I want, choose to focus on and grow. And the more I grow it, the more I see it. And the more I see it, the more I trust it. And the more I trust it, the more comes my way. And it becomes this perpetual cycle. And when one day you look back and you say, gosh, like you said, I trust love. I choose love. I surrender into love. And through that, I have been becoming a better and better person, better able to serve my community, my family, better able to follow my mission here on earth, to do an amazing job at work, because I truly see myself as that vessel of compassion and kindness and softness and understanding and healing, and then the joy of receiving the thing coming back our way is truly mind-boggling.
When I look at the storyline that the media shows us for our human condition here on Earth, and there's all these scallywags, these scoundrels that have chosen to incarnate to challenge our collective view of what life is and what life can be. When you bring compassion through your heart and look through those compassionate eyes at the storyline playing out towards humanity, how does that make you feel about what's going on?
Honestly, I feel like things are getting better and better, as opposed to somebody who sees the world and says, gosh, we're going down the drain. Things are now looking up. Because I see that everything that is coming up as a challenge is coming up to be integrated, right? Like when we meet that soulmate of ours, all our childhood issues come up to be integrated, all our fears bring all the tears up, all the panic, all the wanting to withdraw and to run away. The same thing is happening with on a global scale now, right? We're experiencing the same. Everything that doesn't fit and belong anymore, that is negative and that needs to be healed, is coming up. So we can decide, do I choose this? Do I choose to trust in this, or do I choose to trust in love and light in a better way? And so I'm in the camp of seeing everything around us as a process of healing and things truly being perceived through the focus of compassion and integrity and light and love and allowing us to choose better and do better.
I agree with you. I think I see a wonderful awakening, a wonderful opening in our human condition. It's almost like the dark of the dark is our alarm clock to awaken us at the deepest level of our psyche, of our own being. And everything that's been challenging humanity over the eons of time is coming to the surface so we can see it with loving eyes and stop the repetitive cycle of repeating it, so love can embody a much broader swath of humanity. I really like that.
Yeah.
So You've created this platform and you've written books about conveying this message of love and past life regression. And in that framework, when you work with people, who would you say is your most ideal client?
There truly isn't one, or I should say everybody is. Because you see, past life regression is such an extraordinary tool that allows us to address anything that we have going on in our life, no matter the seeming story on the surface, right? Be it relationships, be it health issues, be it financial challenges, be it health difficulties, no matter what it is, past life regression is such a tool that allows us to see from a different perspective, to empower us to bring that higher learning and that greater sense of having commune with the divine into our everyday life, and to give us that perspective of always, well, now I know better, let me choose and do better. And I have been talking about love healing because I just did an event where I had the opportunity to work with people where I would guide them through past life regressions. And one of the stories that a woman shared with the audience, with the group, is how she experienced herself as someone who opened up to receive unconditional love from her partner. And this is a woman who is struggling now and allowing a relationship in her life, because of the stories, you know, of what men do, how things have worked out for her, what has happened to the women in her family, you know, the stories we all have. And so she experienced such a profound life where she saw herself as a woman being nurtured, trusting love, and love really being there for her. And tears were streaming down her face when she was saying, "Love heals. Love heals." And this is reminding me of the client that I worked with. I did a workshop in San Diego some time ago, a few months back. And this older lady, who was in her mid-70s, was crying, definitely very emotional after our group progression. And she raised her hand and she said, "Mira, I haven't cried for the past 70 years. And her daughter was right next to her. And her daughter said, "Yes, I've never seen my mother cry." And so she said that she grew up with a very controlling, mentally unstable mother who was very abusive verbally and physically. And so one of the things that this mother would do is she would tell her daughter, "No crying otherwise," right? And then the physical abuse will come. So this little girl learned very quickly, no crying. And so one of her biggest challenges in life has been that she's not lovable, she's not worthy of love, that she will be abandoned, that love could truly never be there for her. And so she experienced a lifetime where she saw herself as a woman who parted with her husband who went off to war. And she was really devastated, thinking she will never see him ever again. And lo and behold, he returned. And that moment of him returning and him saying to her, "I told you I will come back for you because I love you so much and I'll never part from you," was so emotional for her. It healed her so profoundly to see such deep love in another lifetime. And so she's in a very different place now. First of all, the healing of being able to cry and to allow herself to trust her emotions, right, and to feel that it's safe to actually cry, and after 70 years of not doing it, and then also the moment of really opening up and saying, you know what, love heals, I can trust love. And this woman is married to a man who now she actually allows to love her, and she has beautiful daughters that she's actually allowing, trusting them to be there for her, as opposed to keeping that little thought on the back of her head, "I'm not lovable, I should always overgive and overdeliver, but me, my cup could never be filled." The reason why our cups are empty is because we refuse to let them be filled up, right? We say, "I'll be there for you, I'll do everything for you, but when you want to serve me, I'm going to deny that." And we rush in to take care of everybody else and to do all the right things for others, but never really allow them to be there for us and to heal us by just allowing them to give us love.
Oh, sure. Well, in that example, you talked about a woman who not only wouldn't allow herself to cry, but wouldn't feel worthy of love. What are some other common attributes that people have? I mean, like physical ailments and mental and emotional ailments that can be from past lives. What kind of common themes do you see when you help people?
Oh, gosh. You see, I believe that our bodies are very responsive to our thoughts, right? So when we barrage ourselves with ideas of not enoughness, of not being deserving, of not being supported, of not being allowing the sweetness of love, the bliss, the flow of love, of life force energy, we develop so many different conditions. Everything you can imagine, heart attacks, leukemia, cancers of every imaginable kind. And it all boils down to really our bodies reflecting the emotional state, our inability to actually trust and receive love. And love is, love heals. Love truly heals. And so it's our job to not believe those lies we keep on repeating, these stories of not enoughness, and keep on sedating or hypnotizing ourselves, but instead to just say, you know what, I'm going to do the healing I need to go through. And for some people, that's regression. For other people, that's that, whatever your modality is, right? When I work with people, I do coaching. I do coaching with them, and I also do past life regression. So that's the modality people work with me. But whatever modality you feel drawn to, explore that so you can understand the stories in other lifetimes, allow those to heal you so that you can unravel the childhood issues in this life, and so that you can really allow yourself to just use that work as a permission to say, enough is enough. I'm going to allow myself now to receive, because love is there. I can truly allow love to be there to serve me, to give me what is it that I need, and to trust that the love has its highest intent for me.
So in a family dynamic, you talked about a mother that wouldn't allow that love into her life. As our listeners think about this, when anybody in the family heals and opens up to love, it ripples through as a model, as an example to others.
No, it really does.
And it can heal the whole family dynamic.
Truly. Truly, absolutely, it really does. When we heal, everybody heals in our family, because what happens is not only do we have our own personal karma, but we also have family karma, we have ancestral karma, we have the karma of our workplace, of our city, of our country. And when I talk about karma, I don't mean punishment, I don't mean guilt and somebody keeping score in the sky. I simply mean balancing. Yeah, I simply mean growth, change of perspective, integration, acting from a place of integrity, acting from a place of doing what you know is the best thing possible and doing it to the best of your abilities. And so karma is truly the opportunity to balance. And so if you had the experience of the generation before you having leukemia and dying because they simply cannot allow and cannot trust that they're lovable, and they're good people, they're not bad people, they're the people who take care of everybody, who are there to always make everybody feel special and to feel like they're the most precious gift of God to the universe. And those are the people who always selflessly give and give and give. But say those people in your family, are they able to receive? And chances are the answer is of course not. They never allowed their heart to open up and trust love. But then the question becomes, are you going to repeat the same story? Or are you going to say, enough is enough, it ends with me. I'm in this situation so I can experience learning and creation through this point of view, so I can actually roll up my sleeves and say, you know what, this doesn't feel natural because I haven't practiced it. But in the practice of allowing love, in the practice of trusting that others are there to give me and I can receive it and not feel guilty and not feel like I need to return the gift right away, out of obligation, I'm going to simply receive and simply heal that story and simply heal the family and simply allow the future to be a better place for my children.
Well, that's a powerful thing right there, because you're changing the dynamics of not only yourself but the entire family. So
yeah.
It's quite obvious the power of this work that you do. So when you work with people, do you work with them in the same physical space like an office and online or over the phone? I mean, how can people, what modalities do you have for people to work with you?
Thank you for asking this question. I work with people actually from all over the world, and that's the blessing of modern technology. So we work over the phone, we work over Skype together. That's how I do my work. We are in our separate homes in the comforts of our own environment, and yet we are able to do such powerful transformation by just connecting and working together. And the way I work with people is through coaching and also through past life regression. And so once the lessons become so clear and the patterns reveal themselves to us through regression, once that higher understanding shows up for us, we're able to bring that into practice through the coaching that I do with people. So I look forward to connecting with our listeners. Please email me at my email address, info@mirakelly.com. And a great place for us to begin working together is for you to download my free meditation. It's a meditation on trusting and allowing love, everything that we've been speaking here. And I know that it's just such a perfect continuation of our conversation, that if there was something that touched your heart in this conversation that intrigued you, that's really the place to continue. Just go on my website, and right at the top of the homepage, you'll see how you can download my trust meditation and do that. It's been such a powerful healing tool for so many people that I know you will love it as well. And there are also so many other ways to work with me. I do workshops. People can read my books. People can dive into my programs. Truly, all they have to do is just go to my website and see what pulls them, what speaks to them. But a great place to start is my free meditation.
So how do you see yourself expressing this compassion through your heart in 5 years? I mean, where do you see this unfolding for you as time progresses?
Well, you see, I believe that when I stay in the space of love, deep and profound allowance and acceptance and trust of love, I actually know the divine more. I truly commune and accept the divine more, because each one of us is God manifest through our unique gathering of dust particles, right? And so I believe that the more I love you, the more I love my partner, the more I love my family, that's how much more I know of the divine and I love God. So 5 years from now, I look forward to the opportunity and of being able to continue loving and continue knowing more of myself through those relationships and spreading that message of how worthy we are and being able to create a significant impact on the story of not enoughness that we don't need to tell anymore.
Well, that's for sure. You know, the your message is so heartfelt because it's quite clearly from your heart, and it's such a core message to how us as individuals can struggle with our lives. From my perspective, you're working with human consciousness, human potential, which I suggest is the most powerful substance influence in our human story. So, and I guess it translates back to the power of love, because what you're ultimately doing is you are the vehicle of divine love to convey into this human story through you and the platform you've created. I just applaud how wholeheartedly you've immersed yourself in this journey.
Thank you. I'm so grateful I was able to share with you and with our listeners and to create that heart-to-heart communication. And, you know, in Hawaii, in Hawaiian culture, there is a beautiful word for family. It's the word ohana. And it means not just physical family, but also the spiritual family. And so it truly is me welcoming you to our family, to my family, to the family of where we trust love, where we have the story that we allow love. And so I am very grateful I was able to share with you and with our listeners, and thank you for this blessing it has been for me.
Well, thank you, Mira. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
Mira Kelly, the author of Beyond Past Lives, and she's also created the platform of Allowing Love. I mean, it's. I suggest the more your heart opens, the more you listen with your heart, and she's. It's quite evident she's living from her heart, from a deep place of compassion for humanity. The idea that we're living out a lifetime that our soul had in mind for us before we were even born, a vision of how our life could go. When you start to open up to the idea that there is a vision of the path of your journey, this lifetime now, that your heart, that your soul had in mind from the beginning, and you can open up your ego to the point of trusting it, there's this notion of flow that can happen in your life. When we're living completely in our ego, we tend to evaluate the status of what's happening outside of us. Our egos are very vested in keeping a sense of safety, as if such a thing existed. And the ego will tend to want to navigate and negotiate everything outside of us, but true fulfillment comes from within. Love is such a powerful thing that when you can open up to it, when you can teach your ego to trust that your heart has your best intentions in mind, and then the ego can let go of the steering wheel, if you will. And that's where that place of trust comes from, the place of trust of the love of your soul for you as you. When your ego can trust that, you don't have to figure out your life, and life genuinely becomes easier. So many people are managing their life from their mind, and that always creates fatigue and a sense of struggle, because the world outside of us has an element of chaos to it, and you're never going to get all the pieces to fit and stay put, not that you would even want that. But when your ego can say, wait a minute, I don't have to figure this out. I don't have to negotiate all this stuff outside of me to be safe. I am safe because of who I am. My soul, who creates the life force energy that makes my body possible, is an infinite soul. The only thing that can be separated from it is the ego itself. And the ego is a pliable, dynamic thing that changes over time anyway. When you can learn to trust your heart, slow down your mind, because your heart doesn't think at a million miles an hour. Slow down your mind and just be present with your heart. It's like getting a get-out-of-jail-free card as far as your ego is concerned, because you don't have to figure it all out. And I tell you what, when you get to that point, there's an ocean of peace, an ocean of peace at the center of your being. And that's the place of rest. That's the place of comfort and safety that is anchored in the truth of who you are. Nothing outside of you can give you that kind of safety. I'm glad you joined us tonight. Life's a journey, and it seems to work out best when you show up for it. And you've done that tonight by listening to this. My life, my soul put me here to understand the nature of power from a personal point of view. I'm here to language the nature of power and karma, and the more I embrace that, the better I feel. I'm your host, Les Jensen. I really appreciate you joining us tonight. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.